Welcome once again to my friends and family members. Well, as you can see, my sermon today is what happens when we die. Why would I preach a sermon like this when many of us know the answer to these questions? I've found in my own life that my mind's not cemented in Bible scripture and Bible truth if I don't visit it once in a while. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer and we'll get started. Well, dear Heavenly Father, oh, what a day that will be. I know that we're all looking forward to it with all the pain and the sickness and the dying that's been going on, and we just want to go home. Well, I pray, Heavenly Father, as we walk through this sermon today, that your Spirit will be upon me, and I pray that it will bring honor and glory to you, and I thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, my brother Marty, he was 31 years old when he died. Marty had led a troubled life. He was in and out of jail, even went to prison one time. But we always knew about God because our mother always made sure that we were in some kind of a church as we were growing up. We were born and raised Mormons. And from there we went to Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. I loved the Lutheran church. And then one day something happened to him. He knew that things weren't right in his life. And he was talking more about going to church full time. Well, that night when my brother died, he told his girlfriend that he wanted to get back to God. He wanted to start going to church and make more out of his life than what he had already given. I know I'm going to see Marty someday. Praise God for his grace. I think God knew when Marty was ready to go. I'm going to tell you another little story about a man I met named Dwayne. He was a mean person and did not care about hurting the feelings of anyone. He said what he felt, and you could either take it or leave it. Have you ever known anybody like that? His neighbors were afraid of him. Most of his neighbors were. They did not like him, but he didn't care. Imagine this. Dwayne would sit out on his front porch, and any stray animal that came across his yard, he would shoot him. His neighbors knew about it, but there was nothing they could do. Besides, they were afraid to say anything. Dwayne didn't grow grass or flowers in his yard. After all, it took too much water, and water was not cheap. He worked as a jeweler and was quite good at it. Maybe that's why he could choose his own hours. He came and went as he pleased. Well, Dwayne knew about religion, like all of us do when we're growing up. But he thought the church was just out to get your money, just like everyone else was. Besides, what did the church ever do for him or his family? Well, Dwayne led a dark life. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story at the end of my sermon. What happened to this man who was leading this dark, dark life. But for now, let me tell you that like Marty and Dwayne, there was a time in my own life when God didn't think that I was going in the right direction. Eventually, God sent a man named Pastor Harry Sharp. If any of you have ever met him, you know what I'm talking about. But God sent Pastor Harry Sharp to change the direction that I was going. I remember talking with Harry numerous times about scripture and different truths in the Bible. And he would often tell me, Mike, you need to revisit scripture. Even if you think you know the answers to a certain subject, which many of us know the answer to what happens when we die, you need to revisit scripture time and time again. So today we're going to, how many have your swords with you, your Bibles? Why are they called swords anyway? This is how we fight against the devil with scripture. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, verse 34 first. I'm going to read everything from the King James Version. I still love that King James Version with all of its poetic scripture and writings. Acts 2, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So the text in part is telling us that God Almighty is inviting Jesus to sit at his right side. But the text is also clear when it says David has not ascended to heaven. Now go back with me a few verses to verse 29 to verify what I just said and to verify this scripture actually. Verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Well, there was Peter stating this fact. some 1,000 years after the death of David, that he was still in his tomb. So the question might come up to some of our minds, I know it did to my mind, why is it that King David, a man after God's own heart, was not taken to heaven? Well, did you know that over 70 times in the Bible, death is referred to as sleep? Over 70 times. In fact, David, Solomon, many other kings are listed in the Bible as sleeping with their forefathers. Job and Jeremiah and Daniel, to name a few, referred to death as sleep. Christ referred to the daughter of Jairus as sleeping when they thought she was dead. That's in Matthew 9:24. He referred to Lazarus in the same manner as in John 11:11-14 as sleeping. We know that Lazarus had been in the tomb there for 4 days. It's also interesting, and we've heard this before, but I'll repeat it again, that Jesus didn't say to Lazarus, come down from heaven, when he called him from his sleep. He simply said, Lazarus, come forth, as it tells us in verse 43 of John 11. So, in their sleep, are they communicating with God? We're going to find out from the Bible, and so turn with me to the book of Psalms. We'll read a few verses. Psalms, the 6th chapter, verse 5. This is that old-time religion when we just thumb through our Bibles. No PowerPoints, no iPads. But we forget even where chapters are at in the Bible if we don't familiarize ourselves from time to time. Psalm 6, verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? So in the world of the dead, there is no conscious state taking place. Let's go to another verse in Psalms. Psalms 146. Verse 4, his breath goeth forward, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Remember that statement, his breath goeth forward, but his thoughts perish. One more verse in Psalms and then we'll move on. Psalms 115, verse 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. So those who are dead and in their graves do not praise the Lord, according to what we're reading. If they were in heaven, they would be praising the Lord, wouldn't they? Well, from our study and a couple of verses we've read already, it looks like when we die, our breath goes back to God. Let me explain a little further. When we are born, God gives to each one of us what is called the breath of life. Then when we die, this breath goes back to God. I knew what it used to say in medical terms. It's something like inhalation, when you take your first breath, and then exhalation. But we know what it's like when that baby takes his first breath. What does he do? He doesn't want to be here. He starts crying. And when we die, our breath goes back to God. So let's turn to Genesis 2:7 for an example of what we're talking about. Genesis 2:7. Adam had just been created by Jesus. And then the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The Revised Standard Version says man became a living being. So Adam's body was a lifeless body until he was given the breath. It is called the breath of God. The body, along with the breath, makes up a living soul. Then at death, our bodies are separated from the breath, and we become a lifeless body once again, as we had just read in Psalms 146 and other places. By the way, in this study, they found that there's no place in the Bible does it speak about our breath or our soul living on in a conscious state apart from the body. You have to have the two together in order to have a living soul. At death, there is no breath left in us. It goes back to God, and our bodies, which are sleeping in their graves, become the property of the Lord, until he calls our ashes forth on resurrection day. Well, you can see, as I mentioned, the Bible talks a lot about death. It also talks a lot about life. Paul called death a sleep, and then he referred to life eternal. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There it is again. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At the time that we're changed, the book of Philippians, third chapter, tells us that God is going to give us a glorious body. How many here want a new and a glorious body? Amen to that. Paul also wrote to the Thessalonians that those who sleep will be raised when he comes to take us home, and we're going to read that as my last verses a little later. Jesus gave us an example of the resurrection that is coming for all of us, and we're going to read that in Matthew 27. Here's a couple of verses that we don't read that often. Only Matthew, the gospel writer, actually records this. Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. And this is an example of the resurrection. As you remember, Christ had been crucified, and now he had risen. Let's see what he says. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of their graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many. Can you imagine living back then? Seeing some of your friends who had gone to sleep? And many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves. Now, this is an example of the resurrection. King David also foresaw this in Psalm 68:18, when he wrote, "Thou hast ascended unto high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Paul also referred to that in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, about this incident in Matthew. What were the gifts that were given to men? Life eternal. One more of the 70 or so verses that talk about death as sleep, and then I'll get back to the story of Duane. 2 Peter 3, verse 4. And he said, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Saying, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. From the beginning of creation of Adam, and right up to the end, we receive our breath from God, and our breath goes back to God after we die. Well, Duane, as I'd mentioned, had led a dark life. But then something started to happen inside Duane. He became more friendly with people. He apologized to a lot of his neighbors. We didn't understand what was wrong with Duane. I do now. God must have been working on Duane, just like he works on all of us. His work ethics improved, and he even purchased a horse for his children. Often he would talk about going to church someday. Things were going real good for Duane and his family at this time in his life, when he started experiencing a rare kind of pain in his body. It was so bad at times that he had to lay down and rest more and more. His legs were getting weaker and weaker. At times it was hard for him to even drive to work. Then the news came. It was some type of a bone cancer that could not be cured. But he didn't give up. He started saving more and more for his wife and his family. He wanted to make sure everything was going to be all right. He worked more hours than ever before at the jeweler store, and his employer was gracious enough to install a small bed in the back room for Duane when he needed to lay down. Well, you know, when friends come and go in your life, it's touching to think back on some of these things. Duane called me one time. He said, "Mike, I notice Ruth Ann doesn't wear a ring. I'd like to create a ring for Ruth Ann." Up until that time, I didn't think we needed wedding rings. After all, we were married to Christ, right? We didn't need this ring as a witness. Well, Ruth Ann had a good birthday that year. She still wears that wedding ring that he made for her. I wonder back then, I wonder now, how did he know that this was on Ruth Ann's wish list? Well, we would stop by to see Duane from time to time. By now, he had moved from a wheelchair to being confined to bed most of the time. Just before he did, he purchased a program called Three Angels Broadcasting, 3ABN. We'd go over there and visit him. He had about 50 tapes recorded of different sermons. He asked us one time, "Mike, Ruth Ann, have you ever heard of Doug Batchelor?" Of course, we'd say yes. And then he'd proceed to give us a mini sermon on what he'd just learned. He learned so much. Duane was the happiest I'd ever seen him, believe it or not, even though he knew the time was near. He was in contact with the pastor of the Roseburg Church. And one day at a service there, he was baptized on profession of faith because we couldn't get the wheelchair and Dwayne into the baptistry. Well, it was close to the end when one day Dwayne sat up in his bed and he said, "Look, look, it's Jesus." Well, Ruth Ann and I regretted not being there when Dwayne breathed his last breath. But I know I'll see him again someday. I know I'll see my brother Marty, other family members who have gone to sleep. But it sure is painful while it's happening, isn't it? Earlier I mentioned Thessalonians. I'd like you to turn there with me and you'll see how these verses come right into play with what we've been talking about. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. We've read them 100 times, but you can see how it kind of wraps up the sermon for today. "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Christ will come. Resurrection time, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then he will bring them with him to us or to those who remain. Can you imagine seeing your loved one as your angel brings that one that has been dead to your side? Can you imagine? In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing song. Before we do, I'd like to give you a little history of the person who wrote this song. Eliza Hewitt. She was born in 1851 in Philadelphia, and she became a school teacher as life went on. But then darkness, pain, and misery entered her life. A reckless student struck Eliza with a large piece of slate in her spine area, which caused her to have a debilitating spinal condition. She spent most of the remainder of her life in bed with this painful condition. Well, she could have been bitter, but she wasn't. Instead, for some reason, she decided to start singing and to start writing. She wrote songs like "Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus," other hymns like "When We All Get to Heaven," everyone remembers "Sunshine in My Soul." One of her latest songs was "More About Jesus I Would Know." While in bed in her painful condition, she also wrote the song we're going to sing, "In a Little While We're Going Home." Go ahead and be seated. You know, God must have had something else for Eliza Hewitt to do. She didn't give up just because she was confined to bed. There's something else for all of us to do. You know that song, I may have mentioned this before, another deputy friend of mine named Morris Taylor used to sing that. We'd meet up at the Yawn Call It Dump or someplace else and get our Bibles out and read a little bit and then sing that song, "In a Little While We're Going Home." Some of you know that Morris Taylor was shot a few days after we started singing this song together. But I know I'll see Morris again someday in his bright and glorious body. Well, thank you for allowing me to give this little review of that which we should be doing all the time. I've done what Pastor Sharp asked me to do years ago. By the way, one day I'll see Pastor Sharp again because he's been laid to rest. We bow our heads for prayer. Well, I miss those who have gone to sleep, Heavenly Father. I miss them just like we all miss our loved ones. And for all of us who carry this pain in our hearts and in our souls, we know the day is coming real soon when we will look up and say, "Look, look, it's Jesus." Praise God. Come and take us home, Heavenly Father, and until then, help us to rely on the blessed hope that we'll see each other someday. Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.